Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, last week on last Saturday for episode, what was it? Episode 54. We did an interview with Dr. Sarah Langworthy. And in that interview, we were talking about, you know, stress and resilience and the developing brain. And today, after doing that interview, we found this wonderful article that we wanted to talk about today.
Right, because in that interview with Dr. Langworthy, she discussed the effects of early trauma on brain development in preschoolers.
Right.
It goes back that far. And one of the issues she talked about at length was the effect it has on attachment and bonding between infants and parents. So, and this is sort of an extension. It's an extension of that discussion.
Yeah. Right. So we found this article in the online magazine Mind Body Green. And the name of the article is "The First 12 Months of Your Life Dictate Attachment Style Forever."
That was the catchy title because we talk a lot about attachment and bonding, and we know that it occurs early in life.
Right.
But then you read this article and it says what happens in the first 12 months will dictate your attachment style as
the rest
an adult.
Of your life.
As an adult.
Yeah. Okay. So very consistent with what we talked about with Dr. Langworthy. You know, this article talks about that important first 12 months of life where we create that attachment, we form those relationships and bonds with our child, and through that healthy attachment, kids, you know, form that foundation for how they're going to maintain relationships for the rest of their life.
Right. And that's the most fascinating thing to me about this is that, you know, you take this, you think first 12 months and it's going to affect your attachments later and the attachments that you have, particularly to significant others, your partner, spouse, husband, wife. So it has important implications for those kinds of attachments later in life. That's the fascinating part of this.
Yeah.
And we can screw this up as parents, right?
Yes.
Easy to do.
It is easy to do. But at the same time, having a secure attachment is relatively easy to do as well.
Right. That's the irony of this one.
Yeah.
Is that a secure attachment is really easy to do.
Right.
It's almost instinctual.
Right.
Okay. And yet there are a couple of ways that you can really slide off the rails with this attachment business.
Absolutely. And it's a matter of, you know, making mindful decisions and really being just cognizant of what you're doing and how you're interacting with your child and how you're treating your child. And I like in this article, they go all the way back to Bowlby, you know, because we don't really talk about Bowlby and Ainsworth and some of those, who was it? Thomas and Chess.
Chess and Thomas is the ones we...
They talked about it a lot, too.
Watch out.
Researchers from, you know, 50 or so years ago
who really first started
talking about this.
Right, that's when they discovered all this stuff, and that was back in the 50s and 60s and 70s,
right? Long time ago.
Long time ago.
So, when we're talking about this, there were a couple of points that the article made that I think are really important for us to put out there. And the first thing is they said that, this is one of the lines in it, says, "The theory has been gaining extra traction recently amid growing concerns about the ways in which technology interferes with human interaction." That's exactly what we were talking about with Dr. Langworthy.
I'm going to have a hard time getting through this whole concept because this is just one of those things that I just keep going around in circles on this issue, on the effect that technology has on what we have typically considered normal human interaction. You know, we always talk about humans being social creatures and the way we interact with each other, the way we make eye contact, what eye contact means in our culture, what tone of voice means in our culture. And we just assumed that these were innate qualities that would never change. The iPhone has been out for 10 years, right?
I think so, yeah.
10 years. Mm-hmm. And it has changed human interaction in 10 years. What we took millions of years, what has taken millions of years to evolve, has changed in 10 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We try to build in aspects like with FaceTime and Skype and those kinds of things, right, to maintain some face-to-face, virtual face-to-virtual face interaction, because it's not virtual, face-to-face.
Virtual to virtual.
Yeah. And it's, but it's not the same.
No.
You know, we had a conversation here in the office about that not long ago when we were talking about the idea of teletherapy. Mm-hmm. And I'm still fascinated with the idea of teletherapy, but at the same time, there is something that you miss when you're not sitting, you know, sitting across from someone in live, real time, in person.
That's right. And you're talking about video.
Correct.
Therapy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But still, there's a body language issue. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. there's a movement issue. There's a proximity issue.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you want to move closer to a person,
right,
or you want to move away from a person. And you lose some of that interaction mm-hmm. when you do it. So I wonder if teletherapy is going to evolve so that it will be useful with some things, but not others.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, but back to our attachment. Another thing that the article pointed out was the interesting correlation in prevalency rates between insecure attachments, which it estimates to be about 40 to 50%.
I was surprised with that.
And the divorce rate.
I was surprised that there's a 50% prevalence rate
mm-hmm.
of poor attachment.
Right.
And I had no idea it was that high. But then to see that correlated with the divorce rate,
mm-hmm.
you think, oh, what's the connection between these two things?
Right. And so what the way that the article points this out, and which I think is really good, is because oftentimes when we think of attachment, we're thinking about kids.
Right.
But what the article is talking about is attachment in adulthood. And so if you have an insecure attachment in childhood,
right,
you're going to maintain an insecure attachment in adulthood.
Right.
And so if you have an insecure attachment in adulthood, it's going to make it very difficult for you to have a healthy relationship,
right,
with a spouse or with a significant other.
Right.
And so it talks about two insecure types of insecure attachment. One is the, two behaviors or two things that parents do that create,
right,
insecure attachments, then we'll get to what the insecure attachments
are.
Yeah,
earlier we said that, you know, this is easy. It's when you think of a 50% rate,
right,
of poor attachment, you think,
right,
okay, well, where is it going wrong?
Right.
Okay. And the two places that they mentioned here where it goes wrong are these two things.
Right.
Right.
And it's sort of like the Goldilocks thing, right?
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
Either too much or too little.
This is another Goldilocks story.
Yeah, it is.
We keep running into that with this. And this is another Goldilocks one, because when we talked about this earlier, we said, too much or too little.
Right.
Back to Goldilocks.
So it's either enmeshment, so
that's
the parent
one.
Is too involved, too intricately woven into the child's life, or, of course, neglect.
The other.
Abandonment.
That's
so
one of,
the
again,
absence.
A continuum.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk a lot about neglect.
Right.
We don't talk much about enmeshment.
Right.
And we should, because it's just as easy to damage attachment with too much
mm-hmm.
attention and too much and as it is to for neglect,
right,
to damage the attachment. So we should so keep this word in mind. I mean, remember this word enmeshment,
right?
And that's the other extreme on the
mm-hmm.
continuum that can be just as damaging.
And you see that often in like helicopter parenting,
yeah,
and
right,
and that attachment parenting, that kind of stuff.
They're smothered by
where they're just too, right,
mm-hmm.
right, just too involved.
Right.
But so these two ends of the spectrum,
right,
can lead to or increase the prevalence or likelihood of an insecure attachment. And it talks about two different types of insecure attachment,
right,
and those are avoidant.
Right.
And
when
anxious.
You mean later in life?
In childhood and in later,
right,
in life, right?
Mm-hmm. That's you what know. You carry,
right,
with you, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, you know, you have the avoidant type, where,
right,
the person is somewhat suspicious and disinterested and sticks
mm-hmm.
stays away from creating attachments or connections with other people.
Right.
And then you have the, you know, sort of anxious ambivalent, and that's people who are, you know, sort of compulsive. They have an overinvestment. They're not sure about the
mm-hmm.
relationship, so they get really jealous and they become very possessive and those kinds of things in their relationships.
Yeah, because these two extremes, enmeshment and neglect, what they do is they damage a person's self-esteem.
Right.
You know, if you have a parent who's too smothering, the child isn't able to develop their own sense of self. Mm-hmm. The parent is doing everything. The parent is making all the decisions. So the child has this incomplete sense of self, mm-hmm. and their self-esteem is damaged. Neglect does just the same thing, but right. for an opposite reason. You know, right. you neglect the child. And so it's a self-esteem issue, and that's what you bring to adult relationship, mm-hmm. is a damaged self-esteem.
Right.
So you can see how your self-esteem affects whether you're avoidant, mm-hmm. or enmeshed as an adult.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So when we try to think about ways to improve or heal, as the article says, attachment issues, you know, there's a couple of things that we can do, and it goes right along with what you were just saying, and that is we need to focus on your self-esteem.
Right.
So mm-hmm. we need to improve your self-esteem. So that's, you can do that through therapy. Mm-hmm. You can do that, and there's different therapeutic techniques like relationship therapy. There's EMDR and a number of other mm-hmm. Cognitive behavioral types of sort of offshoots that, right. that can be used to help improve self-esteem. But I like the other ideas that they offer too. You know, getting involved in mixed martial arts,
right.
Adventure. Anything that you can do that pushes, and we've talked about this so many times on this podcast, mm-hmm. really pushes your comfort level, pushes your
That's
your
right.
zone, so that you're trying things and proving to yourself that you can do things that you never thought you were able to do.
That's right, to go out and push. We talk about doing that with children, mm-hmm. you know, to give them a sense of confidence. Well, we're not immune, mm-hmm. and so adults should do the same thing.
Right.
Go out and do something new. You know, we talk about doing that with the elderly. You know, they mm-hmm. have to learn a new language. We should be doing that all of our lives.
Right.
And that's the quickest way to improve your self-esteem.
Yeah.
Is just to go do something new, learn something new, do something, learn how to do something, and that will increase your self-esteem.
Right.
Get off the couch.
Yeah. You just have to do things. You have to push your limits, push your boundaries, and just
right.
try some new things.
That's right.
And because we're so often we just sort of stay in that rut, and what improving your self-esteem will do, and I think that this is really maybe sort of fuel for another podcast, is when we have these kinds of insecure attachments, one of the and poor self-esteem,
right.
what we're really talking about is a discomfort with being with oneself.
Right.
You know, it's really difficult to have a healthy relationship with somebody else if you don't have a healthy relationship with yourself.
Right.
You know, if I'm so uncomfortable being alone, mm-hmm. it's really going to affect how I interact with somebody who I want to be with.
Right.
You know, I'm going to either become too connected, I'm going to get into that possessiveness that...
Get enmeshed.
That, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we really have to be comfortable with ourselves and be comfortable with the idea of being alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be really the foundation for being able to have a healthy relationship.
Right.
You know, when we think about attachment in children, that's, you know, if you think about the strange situation, mm-hmm. what we're really talking about is a kid being okay with being alone.
That's right.
Because they know that their parent, they know that their significant other, that right. their parent in that situation, mm-hmm. is going to come back and take care of them.
That's right.
And not neglect them.
And the first indication of insecure attachment mm-hmm. is the child who's showing some separation anxiety.
Right.
You know, they don't know whether you're coming back or not. So
right.
that suggests that there's a little bit of work to do because your child is insecurely attached.
Right, right. So yeah, I mean, there's lots.
You know, and the other thing we see and we see this typically in teenagers is they'll come in and they'll say, "Well, I can't do this." You know, you start making suggestions. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't do this, and I'm not allowed, and I can't, and I don't have this, and I don't have that, and there's all these excuses of why they can't do
right.
something, and that again suggests that maybe it's a self-esteem issue,
right.
and we need to take a little smaller bite,
mm-hmm.
but do something.
Right.
Do something.
Yeah. Start small. And it can be anything. Take on a new hobby.
Right.
Take on a new, just some new activity.
You know, they say, frequently they'll say, well, I don't want to make the wrong decision.
Yeah.
There is no wrong decision.
There is no wrong decision.
No, just do something. You can always change.
Yeah.
But do something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. So, all right.
Good.
Well, that's it for today.
We could do a lot more with this.
We could. We could talk a lot more about this forever and ever. So, okay. All right. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.